Welcome to this audio tour by the Paston Footprints, National Heritage Lottery funded project, a collaboration between the School of Literature at the University of East Anglia, the Paston Heritage Society, Collisions Theatre and Norfolk County Council. A map can be downloaded via the phone app or at pastonfootprints.co.uk. At each stopping point on the walk, press play and listen for a couple of minutes as the voices from the Paston letters are animated into life. This walk is narrated by Agnes Paston, who was born at the end of the 14th century and lived until 1479, as she follows the Paston Village pathway.
Welcome, friends, to Paston Village. Our journey will traverse the 15th to 16th centuries, starting with life before the Great Pestilence, or the Black Death as it was also known, and continuing on down the years to Tudor England and beyond. Let me introduce myself. My name is Agnes Berry Paston. My father was Edmund Berry, Lord of Hertfordshire. Perhaps you've heard of him? I was his sole heiress for all his lands and manor houses. But enough about me. We are here to talk about my husband, William Paston. His family grew from modest beginnings to become one of the most important families in Norfolk. We will start our walk looking at St. Margaret's Church, where many of William Paston's family were buried. Press pause and follow the path up to the church entrance. I will meet you there. We are now at the entrance of the church. When you go inside, the first thing you are blessed with is the sight of a late 14th century wall painting of St. Christopher crossing a river with a Christ child on his shoulder. At his feet is water and a fish. The legend says that he was a big, strong man, but nearly brought down by the weight of the child who was carrying the sins of the world. Seeing St. Christopher will bring you good luck and protection for the rest of the day. You see, there is cunning in my plan to bring you here. I am indeed an excellent guide. At the end of the day, you may wish to reflect on St. Christopher's protection. To help with that, a reconstruction of the wall painting in all its glorious colour can be seen on the app. Inside the church, look out for the table tombs round the altar. There's one for my son, John Paston I, who carried on my husband's tradition of the law and estate building and married another great heiress, Margaret Maltby Paston. The tomb of my other son is shamefully unmarked now. He was buried at Bromholm Priory in 1466 with great pomp and ceremony. But after the dissolution of the monasteries in the 16th century, his body was moved here, God forbid. Moving on to a more cheerful subject, I challenge you to look at the pew's end as you explore the church. One features our Paston family coat of arms, a griffin, and another, a devil sticking out his tongue, which I always like to think about when speaking to my neighbours. Our Paston family's importance grew well beyond my day. Triumphing against the Tudor upheavals, I am glad to say, on your left, in the chancel, you can see early 17th century memorials to Paston family members by Nicholas Stone, the master sculptor of King Charles I, no less. There you will find a life-size figure of Lady Catherine Paston, who died in 1628, with an inscription, possibly by the great poet John Donne, who was the Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Can you read the inscription? Not that she needeth monument of stone for her well-gotten fame to rest upon, but this was reared to testify that she lives in their loves that yet surviving be. For unto virtue, who first raised her name, she left the preservation of the same. And to posterity remain it shall, when marble monuments decay shall all. I love it, as it reminds me that it is thanks to the many letters I, my son, my grandsons, and daughter-in-law Margaret wrote that have preserved our legacy for future generations when we have long departed this world. Please, explore the church for yourself. I will wait here for you, and we'll continue our chat when you come out of the church. Let us now go into the churchyard and see the various graves of my past and family. Oh dear, I see up ahead there are some of my neighbours. Perhaps we can discreetly pass them by. Follow me.
Who has blocked the road? Well, it is a poor gift when a family rise above themselves. I have seen the day when Paston men would not have allowed that.
Mistress Paston, I demand to know why you have closed the king's way.
Master Spicer, what business is it of yours? My late husband legally received a proper license to build our private road, and we have replaced the throughway for the villagers to the south side, as justly stated in the patent.
It is a rueful change, and the town is wasp off by £100 because of it.
Mind your own business, Clement.
I have it on good authority that the patent only licensed you to close off one perch in breadth. You closed off more than was allowed.
The wall will come down again. Mark my words, it will come down. Whatever anyone say here, even if it costs me 20 nobles, it'll be pulled down again.
You will pay for such actions. I have witnesses here to show that if anything happens to our wall, you are to blame.
You have no authority here, Agnes Paston. None at all.
May all the devils drag your soul to hell because of the road you have made.
Shameful. I am sorry that you had to witness such a disgraceful scene. We Pastons are beset on all sides. Illegally, I might add. Illegally. Whosoever dwell in Paston has need to defend himself with the favour of the law. So my late husband always said, and he was never wrong. Let me explain myself. As much as William Paston rose, so did his enemies. Our Paston neighbours are nothing but cantankerous, envious villains. All this to-do started when my husband rightly decided to make a more convenient route from Paston Hall to the church, one fitting of our rank and station. The vicar of Paston and Judge William came to a firm agreement to set a boundary mark for us, to fairly build our road. And now that my husband, God rest his soul, has departed this world, the vicar has pulled out all those marks and is disputing our private road. When our quarrelsome neighbours say that they will take down the wall by force, does the vicar defend the agreement rightly and legally made? No, he says he is reluctant to cause trouble. I ask you, is that proper behaviour of a man of God? It is not. Let us quickly return to the Paston Way path, which passes the great barn and is the new building on the location of our old Paston Hall. Press pause and I will meet you there after I collect myself. We are now standing by what was once old Paston Hall. Use your phone app to get a 3D digital reconstruction view to overlay on the hall today. You can see for yourself the greatness of our Paston Hall, much which is thanks to our Tudor and Elizabethan descendants. Our hall, as you can see, stood near the church, which is why my husband wisely wanted a road built from it directly to the church. Was that not reasonable? Why can't the other villagers walk round to the enter the church from the other side? But enough has been said on that point. In the 1700s, an antiquarian, Anthony Norris, remarked how the Paston Hall's ancient magnificence is still everywhere visible. It has been the great joy of my husband, William, to build this hall, fitting our newfound wealth and importance in society. Paston Hall has great fish ponds, and my own family is memorialized over the door of the great staircase out of the hall, where my Berry family arms are carved. I am proud to say my marriage to Judge William raised the tone of the Pastons greatly. Did I mention I was my father's sole heiress? By the days of the Tudors, Paston Hall was remodeled to include two courts, a buttery, many chambers, and a chapel with large cellars to hold the rich provisions for many a Tudor banquet. It is even rumoured that one of my descendants, Sir Robert Paston, who became the Earl of Yarmouth, used our Paston Hall for devilish experiments with alchemy, something that was only to be whispered about in my day, but was celebrated in the 1660s. My word, how times change. But I speak enough of this. Press pause, pass Paston Green, and I will meet you in front of the great barn with a view of Napton Church. This great barn is not from my day, but was that of our great descendant named after my husband, Sir William Paston, in the 1580s. There is a plaque over the south door that reads, "The building of this barn is by Sir William Knight." It was built as a threshing barn and to hold grain. Today, even our threshing barns retain prestige, as it is the largest surviving medieval barn in England. Its grandeur shows the importance of farmlands to my family. Though now you may only find in this barn the protected Barbersdale bats. Their name means beard of the star. Isn't that delicious? This barn is the only known building roost of these very rare bats, so it's important not to disturb them. We think they were here in my day. Wouldn't you say that's a real tribute to the local ecosystem in this designated area of outstanding natural beauty? Look around you. Take in the landscape. Let us continue down the path back to Edingthorpe Church. Press pause, and I will see you there. In front of you is the Church of All Saints Edingthorpe. Take the footpath to the south side of the church. Inside, you will see one of our family's earlier surviving possessions, the Paston door, hanging behind the font on the wall. It is the original 12th century north door of the church, preserved when they remodeled the church in my day. Our late 14th century renovations included a series of paintings which tell the stories of mercy and the lives of the apostles, an important guide for us to remain on the true path. Blessed be to God. Many of the villagers could not read, unlike myself. Did I mention, as an heiress, I am educated in reading and writing? Rare for a woman of my day, but I digress. The paintings on the church walls were essential for many God-fearing people to see for themselves the teachings of the church. If you must, please look at the memorial to William Cole, a descendant of my wayward granddaughter's husband, Richard Cole. I shudder to say he was a lowly steward of my son, John Paston I, who my granddaughter, Marjorie Paston, eloped with. Imagine! A daughter of the Paston family demeaning herself like this, with her shameful, willful marriage to one not only beneath her in station, but a servant in her father's household. Forgive me for getting so passionate. This marriage has sickened my heart for many a day. It is best we speak no more of the matter. Please, do go in and explore the church. I will wait outside for you here. In a minute, you will follow the path to Bacton Village. But let us take a moment to enjoy a view of the Norfolk countryside. We Pastons have much to be proud of. We are in one of the finest counties in England. The beautiful coastline, important for trade with the lowlands, the golden barley fields, the flat lands and rich soil are important to create farmland that made us a prosperous county. For it is said, of English shires are Norfolk seems to yield most pleasures and commodities for gain. You may think we are cut off from the world, but in my day, Norfolk had some of the most densely populated land in the country. Our air may be sharp and piercing, and you can see how the sea surrounds us, but we have good soil and varied terrain. Indeed, it is our rich arable lands that are partly the cause for all our past and good fortunes. From here you can walk down to the sea. However, I warn you, the coastal path, though an important lifeline for trade and transport, is also one of great risk in my day. Marauding ships of the French plague the coastline, and have seized 4 vessels from Winterton and Haysborough. And we are very afraid. Indeed, it was only last Saturday that a good man of my household was seized by enemies when he was walking by the coast, and they have taken him away with them. I heard evil men from the ships even seized 2 pilgrims recently, as they were walking from Bromholm Priory. After robbing the woman, they let her go. But they brought the man to sea until, praise be to God, he managed to convince them that he was a holy pilgrim, and therefore it would be a risk to their souls if they caused him any harm. We hear him past and pray to God that he will give us grace that the sea may be better protected than it is now, or else it will be dangerous to remain dwelling by the coast. Press pause and follow the Paston Way down through the older part of Bacton village, and I will meet you there. You can now look around and imagine village life as we lived it. The villages of Paston, Bacton and Edenthorpe saw many changes from the time of my late husband, Judge William Paston's father's day, to that of my widowhood. There is a saying here in Norfolk: there was never a Paston poor, a Haydon a coward, or a Cornwallis a fool. Well, the rich prosperity of the Pastons began with the savvy strategies of my husband's father, Clement Paston. Like so many Paston villagers, Clement Paston and his forefathers were honest husbandmen. But then tragedy struck when the Black Death ravaged some 35 to 40% of the British population in just 2 years, from 1348 to 1350. Clearly God himself was angry with his poor God-fearing folk. But where tragedy strikes, opportunity awakens. The poor farmers who survived the pandemic found in the aftermath their labour in high demand and could therefore insist on higher pay from the landowners. Sage Clement managed to become a prosperous farmer, ending up owning 100 acres of land. But he did not stop there. He saved his money and sent his son William to university. Clement knew that being members of the law was a steadfast way to socially climb. And it came to pass. Clement's son and grandsons gathered their fortune, purchased lands, and prospered. Many important Norfolk families of my day owe their position to the legal professions. My husband was honoured as a judge towards the end of his life, and it was William Paston who set the family on the path to respect, power and wealth throughout Norfolk. Might you reflect on the value of education and enterprise in your day? Press pause and go into Bacton Churchyard. We now have reached our final church on our tour, St. Andrew's Church in Bacton. You may think Bacton is a small place, but in my day, it was important in being close to the holy pilgrimage site of Bromholm Priory. What with Bromholm pilgrims travelling down the coast from the north, using Paston as a last stop, and pilgrims using Edgingthorpe from the south or the west, we had pilgrims everywhere. A part of the True Cross resides at Bromholm Priory. No wonder pilgrims come from throughout the kingdom and all of Christendom to see this most holy relic. When any of us Pastons are ill, we walk the pilgrim's path or send a penitent in our stead to pray for our bodies and souls. Though this church seems humble now, press pause and look inside at the great late medieval font with rich carvings. They show you the glories of Bacton's past importance. Remember to pray for us as we continue our own pilgrimage back to Paston village. I hope you liked the church at Backton. Take the first left and follow the lane downhill, behind the natural gas terminal 3, which I hear can create power and light in your day, where up to half of the UK's gas is processed. A miracle indeed. Follow the road back to Paston Village. Press pause and I will meet you back at St. Margaret's Church, Paston. Well, here we are, back at the beginning. I hope you have enjoyed your walk with me through the lands where the Paston family fortune began. I am proud that despite some of my wayward daughters, my sons married well, and our family outwitted the vagaries of fortune and developed such a good pedigree. As you go, please explore more of the beauties of this historic county. But remember to watch out for invaders from the sea or cantankerous neighbours. As said in many of our letters, we wish you well and sendeth you God's blessing. And pray that you be well dieted of meat and drink, for that is the greatest help to your health on this life's journey. Fare ye well. Blessed be to God.
Visit pastonfootprints.co.uk for creative activities for children and adults to do after this walk, or to discover further Paston walks and audio tours, with each place telling a different chapter of the Paston story, including Motby, Gresham, Backton, Blowfield, Oxnead, Norwich, and cycle routes at Mannington and Flegg.